Welcome to another episode of North American Deer Talk, where the fusion of facts and opinions become the education and entertainment for all. This is your host, Josh Newton, and we have another great show for you today. Hi, folks. Welcome back. This is episode number 8. Fawns are coming any day. What should I do? Let's go ahead and take care of our sponsors. They do a lot to help take care of you.
The sponsor of our show today is Whitetail Exchange. Whitetail Exchange is an online auction that has everything that deer farmers could need for their ranch. Whitetail Exchange is open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And with nearly 3,000 registered users and 1,200 visits per day, Whitetail Exchange is by far the largest online deer auction in the servant industry. They have semen, live animals, embryos, and every other type of equipment you can imagine needing for your farm or ranch. Selling items is easy. If you don't sell, you don't pay fees. And with commissions at 10% and a $500 commission cap, that's right, a $500 commission cap, many deer farmers choose Whitetail Exchange for all their needs. Whitetail Exchange also has many great advertising opportunities. Check out their e-blasts and some of the discounts that they're running specifically for Servant Solutions members. Just remember, Whitetail Exchange is your go-to place on the internet.
The sponsor of our show today is C&E Wildlife Products, a division of C&E Agri Products, with over 30 years experience and commitment to all-natural probiotics. This commitment really is a passion that's fortified them as the premier direct-fed probiotic company in the servant industry. And there's a reason why. C&E Wildlife is backed by university research at Texas Tech. That's an industry first. With products ranging from newborn fawn paste and formula to show choice breeding conditioner and top score, there's a reason these guys are number one. C&E Wildlife, the trusted leaders in biotechnology for the servant industry.
All right. Well, we got the sponsors wrapped up. Before we go ahead and get into the product of the week, I just want to pitch Servant Solutions to you guys. If you haven't checked this out, stop over at Facebook. It's Servant Solutions. Just punch in Servant Solutions into the search, and you'll find us over there. We try to do updates once a week. You can also get the podcast from there as well. And we just started a Twitter handle as well. So follow us over at Servant Solutions, and you can check us out there. The product of the week this week is EcoVac, and that was last week's product of the week as well. I just want to touch on it again. I've been getting a lot of calls from guys about what they can do for their E. coli and Clostridia coverage. We have a solution for that, and it is EcoVac. And what EcoVac is it's a five strain E. coli and one strain of Clostridia type A that we've put together into a vaccine. Now, we're getting real close to fawning time, and we're going to touch on a lot of really interesting things today about what we do when fawns come, and EcoVac is one of those things. So what we can do now is, again, it's probably a little late to be vaccinating does. There are a few farms that are just finishing up their protocols, and they've gone ahead and done that. They've had some pretty major issues in the past, and they wanted to go ahead and get their does done, and that's probably the most important thing that we can do. But we can also give that to our fawns, and there's a couple different ways that we like to do that. And one of them is orally. So when those fawns are born, and we go out and we do our fawning protocol, and we're gonna get into the fawning protocol that we've put together here after about 16 years of working with deer, and just the real heavy the past 5 years kind of developing these vaccines. But one thing you can do is you can give that orally. It's a 2 cc dose, so you just give a little 2 cc squirt right down their throat when they're born and get coverage that way. Another thing that we've done, at least with our mother raised fawns, is we'll actually give half to a full dose at day 2, and then another half to full dose at day 14. And guys are like, well, how do you catch a fawn at 14 days old? We use a long handle fishing net. We mow strips, grass strips in our pens that are about 4 to 6 foot wide. We let them get tall and those fawns lay in there. And we walk our pens every day when we're checking for fawns, and we'll just walk past with that long handle fishing net. Usually they sit tight, and when we go past, wham, they go into the net, and we go ahead and we give them their 2 week physical inspection and whatever kind of shots they need. But EcoVac has worked great for controlling E. coli and Clostridia on our farm. We just put a little write up. If you go into the vaccine service package and click on the EcoVac link, we put a little write up on there about E. coli. It's just some research that I did, and it talks about what E. coli is, where it's commonly found, and what we can do to help prevent some of the infections. So we'll get into that when we get into our show. The vaccine schedule's on there as well for all the adult deer. So check out EcoVac. If you're interested, you can give me a call. It's 844-478-2870. You can shoot me an email. That's jnewton, N-E-W-T-O-N, at servantsolutions.com. So with that, we'll go ahead and get into our show. We're going to talk about what we do at fawning time, because guess what, guys? Spring is here. It's in the air. It was mid-70s today, which is just awesome. We had a cool down here the past couple weeks, and I've been kind of waiting for everything to kick into gear. I've been talking to some guys, and they said the leaves are out on the trees. Well, we got some green grass growing, and all the clover's starting to pop out of the ground, but we still don't have those green leaves on the trees. But they're coming. They're talking about maybe some 80-degree days next week, so it's in the air for sure. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna just go through a couple of things that we do for prepping for fawns, and then we'll get into the actual fawning protocol and what we actually do here at Red Ridge, and how the Servant Solutions program has really come to be and how it's helped us. So one thing that we need to touch on is the weather. Obviously, we're not gonna have any control over the weather, and what happens is, at least it seems that it's real nice prior to fawning. You know, you're like, okay, I could take fawns any day now, and we get a cold snap or we get a bunch of rain, and it's just something we got to deal with. I want to remind everyone, when it's dry out and it's cold, those fawns will do just fine. It's when we get that cold and wet at the same time that those fawns, they can have some more issues. So, you know, it's not uncommon to get some high 30, low 40 degree nights, at least here in central PA, during fawning season. And that's, you know, that's into, you know, the latter parts of May. When we get into June, we don't get a ton of that, but that's okay. You know, I really don't mind. Those fawns, they are like little BTU burners. They, when they come out and they get, as long as mom's taking care of them and they got milk in their bellies, they're good to go. They nestle down in a nice spot, and boy, when you go out there and you feel them, I mean, they're cranking body heat off. I remember seeing them, some of them when it's raining, I mean, they're steam coming off of them. They're fine. So just remember, dry is good. Dry and cold is fine. When we get into situations where it's in the 30s, it's raining, let those does do their business. If you're going to bring animals in for bottle feeding, that's fine. You can go ahead and pick them up. We want to try to give these guys 24 hours on their mom, if at all possible. With our program here and what we recommend, it's 24 hours on mom. We spent all that time in the spring vaccinating our does. We used the Nuvac 2 product, which is a pretty nice pneumonia vaccine that we've developed. It also helps with trench mouth and your fusel infections. But we want to, and we also gave the EcoVac product, we want to make sure that those fawns have enough time in that first 24 hours to get as many drinks as they want. So that's really important. And we'll get into the fawns in a little bit. Right now is prime time. Like I said, it's April 30th. It's prime time. Let's go ahead. Let's get lime on those pens. You know, pelletized lime is good. I go in there and, oh, I'm doing soil tests and, you know, it's calling for like, you know, 2,000-3,000 pounds of lime per acre. My ground here is just really acidic. So do those tests. I'm not able to put that much lime on my pens, but I'll put 500 to, oh, maybe 1,000 pounds on each one of the pens I have. My pens are about an acre, but, you know, anything you can do to help improve that soil quality and bring that pH level as close to neutral as we can. I know in a lot of parts of the South, I was talking to some guys, they have pretty alkaline soil. It's a rock layer. So lime's going to help kind of neutralize that and bring that down from that alkaline soil. Another thing to do is get those seed mixes going. You know, it's a perfect time pretty much everywhere. Now, I know in the southern states, you guys are, I don't know, you probably got corn up to your knees by now, but we're just starting to plant our fields up here. We do an overcast seeding. I actually have my seed coming. I just ordered a bunch of seed. It should be here tomorrow. We went with an alfalfa, and we have two different kinds of alfalfa that we're going to sow in this year. We actually do an overcast seeding. We don't do any kind of tilling of the ground, just because our ground is really rocky and it creates a mess when we do that. So, we have two different facilities that we work at. One is a real well-drained kind of rockier soil. It's an old riverbed. It's got a bunch of sandstone in it. We have a certain type of alfalfa that we're going to use on there that does good in that kind of soil. We also have another piece of property that we have our bucks at, and that's more of a compacted, more wet type soil. It sits on a shale base, and it's got a bunch of clay in it, and they actually have an alfalfa that they've developed that'll work really good in those. So look into those types of seeds. We're going to do some Ladino clover. We're going to do some perennial rye in some of our high traffic areas. We have a deep-rooted fescue that we're using in some of our shaded areas. But look into those seeds. You know, there's lots of resources out there for different types of seed. These are more you know, wildlife seeds, so they're kind of developed for more high traffic and high grazing type situations. So let's go ahead and get that done. Another thing that we found that works really good is, instead of turning over the soil, we've tried that in the past, and what happens is when you break that soil up in the springtime, and then you try to get stuff to grow on it. Obviously, with deer on that pasture, that it's not going to grow well. But we've also kind of exposed all the bacteria that's been sitting in there to the elements. Well, in one sense, that's good because it's getting some air on there, it's getting some sunlight, it's starting to break down that bacteria, and that's a good thing. But when you're having fawns on that ground, it's really not. So what we've found is we found an aerator, basically, and it's a drum. It's maybe 15 inches around. You can fill it up with water. There's other applications that you can use that I've seen, but basically it has like two and a half inch spikes on it, and we just pull that behind our RTV, and what that does is it punches small holes in the ground, so it kind of helps break up that compaction on the top couple inches, and it allows water to get down in there, it allows some air to get in the ground and the sunlight to get in there, and we found that to be just a much better solution than turning pens over. Now, I think if you're going to do any type of plantings or you know, changing and turning over pasture, probably the best way to go is to do half or a third every year or every other year, and I would probably do that in the fall. You know, maybe August, September, depending on what zone you are. It's different for all over the country, but go ahead and turn that over, because those animals, they've developed an immune system by then, especially our younger animals. And through our vaccination program, we can help prevent some of the things that we're bringing up, and those animals will tolerate that a lot better. Now, if you have the ability to take your deer off of that pasture, and you can turn it over fully and plant it up and fertilize and let that go throughout the winter, that's awesome. I mean, you know, that's ideal. Not everybody has that kind of space. So go ahead and make sure that you look into that. At this time of the year as well, we also want to make sure that all our does are in the breeding pen. We're probably 2 weeks out from having our first fawns here. And I think our due date's the 17th or the 19th of May. So about 3 weeks out from a good push of the AIs to be coming. And we want to make sure that all our does are in the breeding pens. It's really important. Regardless of how calm your deer are, not all the deer are going to transition into a new home, even if it's on the same property, even if it's the pen right next door. They need to kind of get some time to get acclimated in there. And if you're introducing them to other animals that are new that they have not been with, there's a lot of social stresses that go along with that. So make sure that they're in their pens now. Make sure that you're not going to be introducing any new animals in. Some of those older does can be really aggressive during fawning. So kind of keep an eye on things. If you're seeing some does that are getting picked on really bad, either pull out the aggressive one. What I do is I take some of the older does that like to cause trouble, and I put them all in the same pen, and they can hash it out, and that seems to work really well. They all figure out that they're the dominant one, and they get things in order pretty quick. But again, make sure that social order is established right now, and give them some time to get acclimated to that space. We also want to look at what we can do to make life really good for these animals. And one of the things that we can do is we can go ahead and we can feed lots of different choices of foods. So if you're in an area that's greened up, you got leaves on the trees, deer are junkies for leaves, especially if you're not in a browsy or wooded type area. If you're just on pasture, or if you're in deep woods where there's not a lot of undergrowth, go out, get yourself some maple leaves, fresh oak leaves. Any of the fruit trees are good. You know, they love apple leaves, grape leaves, all those things. And just, you know, cut that kind of stuff. And take those branches and let them chomp on it. If you have access to apples from the past year that are coming out of storage and guys are getting rid of them, you know, head over to your local orchard and see if they have stuff in cold storage yet that's really no good for human consumption anymore because it's been in storage for 6 months. See if you can make a deal on it. That, you know, deer love apples. It's good, really good nutrition for them. Watermelons. I mean, you name it. I don't know what every place is a little different as far as what type of seasonal fruits and vegetables they have, but you know, any type of variety that we can offer these guys while the pens are greening up is a really good thing. So those kinds of choices are excellent. Another thing is if you have some pasture that's outside of your pen area and it's loaded up with all that fresh alfalfa and clover, if it's a hay field, just go out there with a couple buckets or, you know, feed bags and just pick some by hand, fill up your bags, fresh soybean leaves, any of that kind of stuff, and just dump it in that pen. We're going to be doing another show here, probably in a week or two, that you'll really enjoy, and it's another kind of alternative feeding that we can do that's really good for animals, but we'll get into that at a later show. I think you'll enjoy that. So we want to also look at the conditioning of our does. And when I say conditioning, I don't mean fat. I try to follow stuff on Deer Farmer and on some of the whitetail groups there on Facebook, and there's always discussion about conditioning animals, and I see a lot of people talking about, you know, this supplement or that supplement, and it's always a fat thing. And, you know, in any animal industry, it's not so much important to feed them a fat type diet as it is a nutritionally dense one. And we only ask for problems when we're trying to fatten up our does coming before fawning. It could, because what happens is we start kind of packing, I don't want to say the birth canal, but there's areas in the body that when there's too much fat, it's really difficult for those animals to fawn. Now, white-tailed deer are pretty good about their fawning because they have multiple births, and we usually don't see a lot of problems with dystocia or oversized fawns. Elk, on the other hand, are more, we'll say they're more like the bovine species, or they're more like cattle, where they can get some pretty big calves in them, and it's a lot tougher when they still have a bunch of fat reserve. So you have to kind of look at your does, you know, look at how they wintered over. I know here we had a pretty brutal winter, and I know a bunch of guys up in further in the Northeast and out in the upper Midwest had pretty rough winters as well. I know body weights, you know, they depleted a good amount of their fat resource, and they're kind of in a rebuilding stage now, and that's good. We want that. So don't be over critical on your does as far as their conditioning. What we can do is we can make sure that their diet is full of really nutrient rich feed. I know most of us are switched over to our higher protein and kind of medium fat and high fiber feed. That's good. We can also look at probiotics as a choice. You know, like you heard earlier, I'm a big fan of the CNE products. They're a sponsor of the show, and Shane has done just a pile of research that he's put into his products. So there are some products there that we can look at that help with feed conversions, and it's worthwhile to take a look at those. I know now. We've been feeding the farm pack by CNE, and we feed that on a regular basis, and it's just a pretty low dose general probiotic that we can put in the feed. We mix it in our mixer, and that seems to work well as their conditioning. Another thing that we really need to look at is if you've had any type of problems with coccidia in the past, now is an excellent time to get your animals treated. We see that more so in the fawns and not so much in the adults, although if you see it in your adults, you're going to have issues with the fawns. And what that is it's a worm or a parasite, basically, that when it gets in their system, it causes diarrhea, and the fawns are incredibly susceptible to it. And there's a couple different options for treatment and prevention. What we can look at is we can look at amprolin, which is basically Corid. They have generic types. You can put that in the feed. It comes in a liquid. You can put that in the water. There's also Decox, and that's a powder that can go into the feed. So if you've had issues with coccidia, or you know you've seen it, let's say with the fawns when they're young, it typically comes around at the earliest 12 days or so, it doesn't have a gestation before that, but about 12 days or so, we see it a lot with our fawns in the fecal samples that we take. We'll find some coccidia in there, and it's like anything else, you know, E. coli, coccidia, all the animals have it. It's just to what degree do they have it. So what we're going to do this year is we're going to start probably here. Oh, any day. I would say I might start Sunday, you know, the beginning of the week this week, and start feeding that to the does, get them cleaned out. I'm going to use the Decox product, and I'm going to pre-prep my does so I don't have any issues with that, and I'll feed that for the next 3 weeks or so. That way, when those fawns come, they're in a good environment that's coccidia free, and I don't have to worry about trying to, you know, catch fawns when they're 3 weeks old and mess around with that. So that's one thing that we need to do, and that'll also help with the conditioning of those does. Obviously, worming is another thing we can do. There's a ton of different types of wormers. We have used We have used an injectable wormer this year as we just finished up doing our vaccinations, in our does here. Oh, I don't know, maybe a week or two ago, we gave an injectable wormer. We will also follow that up probably June 1st with a round of wormer in the feed, just to kind of level everybody off. If you have questions about whether you have any type of roundworm, stomach worms, tapeworms, those intestinal worms that usually give us issues, just do a fecal sample. Go out there, get a little Ziploc bag, just mark that with your pasture, get your rubber glove on and pick up some fresh samples from throughout the pen and get tests done on those. It's incredibly cheap. You can take them to any dog and cat vet. We send ours off to the Penn State lab. It's I don't know, 20 some bucks. They do a Barrowman float and what the other test is. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but basically we have them check for coccidia, and then we also have them check for E. coli, and those are E. coli and some of the roundworms, stomach worms, et cetera. So we can take care of those beforehand, but we want those does in the best condition. So that's something we need to look at. Additionally, we want to look for what these does are looking like prior to fawning. So kind of some of the telltale signs is you're going to see these kind of big tight bellies. Now, not all of them, you know, you're going to get some does that throw you some singles. They're not going to have these big stretched out tight bellies, but for the most part, you know, does typically have two fawns, sometimes three, but you're going to see these really tight bellies, and then you're going to watch for their bag to drop or their udder. So that's just a common term that we use, you know, did their bag drop? And that really just is basically saying that their udder has come down, it's full of milk, and they're getting ready to fawn. And every doe is a little different with the size of their udder. We really like to see does that have large udders, you know, because they have increased milking capacity. So if you have some does that have tinier udders, you know, you may want to consider looking at those and looking at their moms and doing some evaluations on how their fawns have performed. And that's all just herd management stuff that we can look at. A lot of that's genetic. So that's just something to keep in mind. We also want to check out how those does are acting. Prior to fawning, you're going to see those does acting in a more dominant manner towards other ones. They're kind of trying to find a space to fawn, so to speak. And prior to them freshening out, you'll see them pacing the fence, their tails kind of cocked out, and they might pace. Some does will pace for a week, other does will pace for a day or two, and find a home and pop some fawns out. So make sure you keep a close eye out for that. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about our membership program, and then we'll get back into the rest of the show here. All right, so we'll talk about the Cervid Solutions membership here real quick. And what that is I've been getting a bunch of calls. People are like, what is this Cervid Solutions membership? And basically what it is we have a bunch of systems that we're working on right now. We have our health management system. We have a Cervid Solutions health division and our vaccine service package. And basically the health management system is it's a health management program. So when you sign up for the membership, what we're doing is we're actually building a database that is going to allow you to enter the animals in on your farm when you have vaccinated them and with what vaccine. And it's actually going to be able to calculate schedules for you. So it'll tell you when you need to vaccinate next. And it's also going to remind you when your vaccine inventory is getting low. So it creates a forecasting model for you and for us. That way we can keep the price on the vaccine down and low. And it also basically helps us with our production levels and our inventory levels here. Right now, it takes about 9 to 10 weeks to get vaccine in. So you can see where that can be a problem coming into, let's just say, a fall where we're vaccinating our fawns at weaning, because that order has to be placed in June, basically, to make sure that we have inventory here for you guys to use. So that's one of the things we're working on. We hope to have that going here in the next 30 days or so, as far as the notification system and the vaccine scheduling system. The Servant Health Divisions, what that is we've brought on two great members of our industry. One is Shane Horrocks, and he's going to be taking care of the Servant nutritional section, because we believe that's really a key tenet of health in our animals. And then we also have Dr. Rachel Weiss, and she's going to be taking care of the livestock reproduction and health aspects. So both of them are going to contribute on a regular basis to the site through some articles, and hopefully through some continued interviews from questions from the audience, and we'll go ahead and take care of some of those things. We also have a general operations section. That's going to be my my section, and what that'll be is, we're just as the year progresses and we go through our seasons, I'll be putting out content in addition to the podcast that covers some of the things that we deal with. It'll cover everything from how we feed to when we vaccinate, pasture management, and then we'll get into genetics, nutrition, marketing, advertising, etc. So it'll kind of be all inclusive. The membership itself, we have that set up two ways. So when you go on to the Servant Solutions site, it's $5.99 a month or $60 for a year. Another great thing about the membership program is we've been able to pair up with a lot of the industry leaders in their own genres of the industry, whether that be nutrition, reproduction, advertising, etc. And we've been able to get discounts from some of these great companies. So I was just doing some math here before the show. So for a normal size farm, let's just say about 50 animals or so, if you were to order two bottles of Nuvac, you ordered about $1,000 worth of probiotics, which is really easy to do from CNE, and you did 20 does, breeding does, AI through ARC, and you did a banner ad on Whitetail Exchange. Just from the discounts on those, you would save $605. You'd get $30 off the vaccine. You get $50 off of the CNE Wildlife products and free shipping from them. You'd get a $400 savings from Applied Reproductive Concepts on their AI promotion that they're doing. And then you would get $125 off the Whitetail Exchange banner. So those are some of the discounts. It's really cool. I'm glad that the sponsors have of the North American Deer Talk have kind of stepped up and said, you know, we want to offer some of these promotional savings and items to the members of Servant Solutions. So check those out. We're really proud that we've been able to put that together, and companies are coming to us all the time that want to offer some discounts as well and get some exposure on the show. So we look forward to working with them. And with that, we'll go ahead and we'll get back into our show and pick up where we left off. Okay, so what do we actually do when the fawns come and they're on the ground? So we'll go over our fawning protocol that we put together. Currently, we have our mother raised fawn protocol set and done for this year, and we are working on the bottle fed fawn protocol, which I should have out early next week for everyone, and then we'll be working on a weaning protocol. Now, these protocols are something that we've developed over the past 16 years. Basically, how Servant Solutions came to be is Red Ridge Whitetails, which is the farm that I manage. about 5 years ago, was going through just a bunch of problems with some of these pathogens that are now in the vaccine, and we kept working on culturing and doing necropsies and trying to get as much data put together as we can and implementing a vaccination program to help. So we've taken our notes that we've had over the years and all the research that we've done, and it's come to this point where we have this protocol in place. So we're ready to share that with you folks, and hopefully that you know, you can take some things out of there that'll work good for you. Now, I'll say this: I am not a vet. These are just things that I've observed at my farm and that have worked really well here. I've shared a lot of these things with other people that have came on board with the Servant Solutions membership and are using the two vaccine products that we offer, the Nuvac 2 and the Ecovac, and they've been having tremendous results as well too, and that covers all regions of the country. So we have some guys up in Montana, we have some elk farmers out in Utah, we have a bunch of farms here in PA, Indiana, Texas. I mean, it's widespread. So we're continually compiling data and looking back and kind of researching and say, okay, this worked, this didn't. So that's where this has come from. One of the best things to do is just to give me a buzz or shoot me an email and say, hey, you know, here's some of the things that we've done in the past. We can kind of review those protocols. That's what I really like doing, is kind of looking at what other people are doing and saying, hey, you know, this might work for you. If it hasn't worked in the past, here's some things you can try. So we'll go ahead and get over onto this. Basically, we'll start at day one, and that's going to be 0 to 24 hours old. What we do is we make sure that mom has cleaned up those fawns. They have nursed extensively. Usually that's about 6 hours, depending on how many fawns. 6 to 8 hours, and we know those fawns have basically been placed. In other words, mom's done her business. Those fawns have gotten their drinks. She's cleaned them off. She's up and left, and those fawns have been placed out into their spots in the pen where she knows where they are, and she's up eating and cleaning herself up and you know, doing her thing. So we want to make sure that happens. That is really critical. So, you know, don't be jumping mom, getting excited, you know, I wonder what I got, buck doe, that kind of thing. Just relax. You can watch them with your binocs, you know, from afar, just leave them alone. We have some does that let us come up real close to them and kind of hang out while they're having their fawns. That's really cool. But for the most part, just leave those does be and let them do their thing. So what we do is when we go out, we do a gender check. So I'll pick up the fawn, lift the tail, and see what we got. That's always always an exciting part, you know, buck or doe. We'll go ahead and we're going to weigh our fawns. What we use is just a digital fishing scale, and I'm actually working on a little fawn container here. It's basically a piece of fabric, and it'll have some grommet holes. You can just place the fawn in it, and they'll sit in it. You can use a laundry, you know, a netted laundry bag. You know, sky's the limit. You can figure something out. We're going to go ahead and we're going to pull hair for DNA. We don't DNA our bucks right away. I know a lot of the guys in the South, they'll DNA everything. We just haven't seen the value in that initially, and you know, every farm's a little different in what they want to do. But go ahead and we'll pull that hair. We're going to go ahead and we're going to give half a tube of the CNE fawn paste. The tubes, they were 15 mLs or 15 cc's. I believe they're up to 30 now. So you're going to give them 7.5 cc's. And what you can do is instead of stuffing that directly down the center of their mouth, you can take that and you can run that along their sides, almost like you're packing some sunflower seeds or, you know, almost like a chew in them or something like that. So you can run a little bead down each side. We're going to go ahead and we're going to give 6 cc's of bova serum or lamb serum. That's going to be 2 shots. So three a piece, and those are going to be sub Q. We also give 1 to 2 cc's of vitamin B complex. You can do that IM or you can do that orally, your choice. If you're in an area that Bozy might be warranted. In other words, you have a selenium deficiency. You can go ahead and go ahead and squirt them with a half cc of Bozy. We like to do that sub Q, and then we're going to go ahead and put the ear tag in their ear. We always save the ear tag for last because they tend to, you know, they tend to be whining and crying a lot when we do that. So we always do that last. We do girls in the left ear, boys in the right ear, and we do all one color. For the year. That way we can look out in our pens for the most part, say, okay, 2015, we're using yellow tags this year. That way in 2 years I can look out there and say, oh, that's a yellow tag, so it's a two-year-old doe. And then, like I said, left ear girls, right ear boys, that's how we do ours. It's worked good for us. You can do it however you need. Day two, 25 to 48 hours. We're going to go ahead and we're going to give half cc to 1 cc of the Nuvac 2. That's going to be a sub-Q shot. And then we give 1 to 2 cc's of the Ecovac. That's a sub-Q shot as well. And then we go ahead and we top them off with another half of the tube of Fawn Paste. So that's going to be the 7.5 cc's of the Fawn Paste. So we do that on day one and day two. And that's pretty much it. So we go ahead and we make sure that the Fawn Paste gets into them on day one. And the Bova Serum, Lamb Serum. And then your vitamins. We do not give vaccines on the first day. You can give the vaccines orally, and I would recommend doing that on the first day. We choose to do a sub-Q. We try to stimulate that immune system a little bit. Now, we've done the work here where we've already vaccinated all our does. So I actually, all the testing and research that goes into the Ecovac and the Nuvac products, that's all done here at Red Ridge. So I have basically four different fawning pens, and I do different protocols each year on each one of those pens. So I have notebooks for each pen. I write down how we do ours. So we have a couple different ones that we're going to be trying, different timings on shots, some different products, and we take that data and we look at it and we say these fawns performed better, these didn't do so well, etc. And then we review those notes at the end of the summer, and we kind of tweak our protocol if we need to, or we say this worked good or this didn't. So that's, you know, the animals here are the testing ground. So we jump ahead to day 14, and all of our fawns are handled via a small rubber-coated long-handled fishing net. We got ours at Cabela's, I think, just because they were running a special. And we have the small 3/8 to half-inch. It's mesh, but it has this fine rubber coating on it. And it's really nice for handling the fawns. They go in there, and I mean, no issues with legs popping out or anything like that. So what we do is we do a quick physical exam. I mean, a 14-day-old fawn should be robust. It should be kicking and hollering and screaming, and I mean, they're a handful. So you got to be ready for it. We go ahead and we booster our Nuvac 2 and our Ecovac shots at that time. We check out hoofs. We check in their mouth quick. We do a quick navel check, and off they go, and that seems to work really well for us. So that's the day 14 shot. And I had mentioned about mowing strips in the pens. So basically what that is if you're let's say you just say your pen is the size of a football field, so, you know, whatever, 30, 40 yards wide and 100 yards deep, we're going to mow strips. And we might only have two strips in those pens, but they might go the length of the pen, so 100 yards long, and we'll make those 4 to 6 feet wide, and we'll just let that grass grow up so it's tall. And what happens is those fawns will bed down in that grass. Now, I know you guys in the South are saying, well, we don't have any grass, what can we do? And sometimes in the north, our grass isn't up and tall at that time. So what we've done is you can take, there's a variety of things you can do, but you can take half a piece of plywood. You can take a pallet. I've seen guys cut out the ends of 55-gallon drums and put those up against the fence. And what happens is the fawns will walk over to the fence, and they will get behind that piece of wood, the pallet, or inside the 55-gallon drum. And once you've identified the animal in there and you know that's one that you have to give a booster shot to, you can go ahead and walk perpendicular to the obstruction. So again, the pallet, we'll just call it the fawn cover, the pallet, the piece of wood, or the 55-gallon drum, and you can just take your net and basically you can kind of shush them out of behind whatever that obstacle is, that barrier, and right into the net. And that works really well. I end up having a couple each year that I just can't get. And I mean, we're gonna shoot some video this year. That way, you know, people don't call me a liar that I catch fawns when they're 14 days old. But we'll do a blooper reel for everybody so you can see me falling and getting my tail kicked in from these little 14 days old fawns. And then just remember, have fun. Fawns are a great thing, and it's an incredibly exciting time of year. If you can share that with people, that is great for our industry. Take pictures, take high quality pictures of these fawns. Share those with people, share your stories. I know it can be a stressful time of year, but I think with some of these health protocols that I just mentioned, that stress level will be way down. I had a gentleman call me last year, really just ecstatic. Basically, he had one of his best summers fawning ever through our health management program that we put together for him. And he said it was just a joy to be out there. And that's what this is all about. We want to try to raise healthy animals. So if there's anything that I didn't cover or I didn't touch on, please feel free to drop me a line there. You can call me. It's 844-478-2870, or shoot me a quick email at jnewton, that's N-E-W-T-O-N, at Cervid Solutions. And, we'll go ahead and we'll try to get that answered. I can do a couple little, short, Q&As, in another show, and we'll cover some of that stuff, but I'd be more than happy to talk with any of you. And, hopefully you guys have some fawns coming on the ground. I enjoy seeing pictures. Feel free to say, hey, you know what? I got this cool fawn. Tell me about the fawn cross and shoot some pictures over. But just remember, have fun, share your story with people. This is, it's an exciting time for the industry as we continue to grow. And, we'll kind of wrap up the show with there. So, as always, I thank you all for joining me. I know this was a different style show. We didn't do an interview. I got a couple of those lined up for the coming weeks. I know everybody, as they get busier and busier, it's going to be tougher to get those interview shows done over the summer months. But we'll do our best to keep plugging away here, and we appreciate all the support and the listeners that are checking out the show. So with that, we'll wrap up, and as always, stay tuned for another episode of North American Deer Talk.